your host, Ben Korn.
I'm your host, Ben Korn, from the University of Colorado, home of the Buffaloes. Coming in at 6 feet, at least that's what my license says, 240 red hair and red beard. My favorite baseball team is the Cincinnati Reds from a time before Todd Frazier. I was a huge Eric Davis, Barry Larkin fan growing up. I'm a three-time fantasy baseball player with a two-time victory lap. I like to rely on the guys that have gotten it done for me in the past. Todd Frazier, Gio Gonzalez, Christian Yelich, and Dexter Fowler. If you ain't streaming, you ain't steaming.
And Chris Welter.
I'm your co-host, Chris Welter, from Northeastern University. Are they the Huskies, I think? Home of Carlos Pena, basketball player J.J. Barea, and a bunch of other people who are making more money than me sitting on the bench. Coming in at 6'5", 110 pounds wet, with a husky look that for some reason hasn't scared away my fiancé yet. Hailing from the beautiful state of New Jersey, I live in Boston, but maintain my Yankee pride. The speed of Jacoby and the hair of Johnny. Okay, sure. My stats are as follows. 10 years playing fantasy, minor league star finder. I finished at the top of my class at least one league per year. Give me some G. Stanton, Marcell Ozuna, and Ryu any day to lead me to the championships. Soda is just another word for pop. Let's go. What is this?
Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
And it begins. Thank you so much for joining us here on Fantasy Baseball Weekly. You just found out who the hosts are. My name is Ben Korn. Across from me is Chris Welter.
How are we doing today, Ben?
I'm doing pretty good. It's good to get March rolling. We got baseball starting up in April.
Yes, we're almost there.
I mean, you may not think that you should be trusting us with your fantasy baseball advice, but I think you can.
I don't think you should.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend trusting you. You've got quite the...
You can listen to us yabber for 30 minutes.
Yeah, so this Fantasy Baseball Weekly, it's a 30 to 45 minute podcast talking about fantasy baseball, what you need to know to get yourself ready for the drafts, and then once baseball season starts, how to keep up with it. You know, fantasy baseball, the one thing everybody tells me, you need to follow it every single day, and luckily, Chris Welter follows it every single hour.
I wake up and follow it, I fall asleep and follow it. Hey, it's a long season. It's a war of attrition, so you got to be ready every day to make some moves.
His fiance,
right?
Jamie comes up to me and
she's
says...
She's pumped you just said that, by the way.
She comes up to me and she says, I didn't know that Chris sits in front of the TV looking at fantasy baseball every night. And I was like, you're just going to have to get used to that.
See, she says that, but I warned her before I dated her. I said, this is me. Prepare yourself.
She must have like... been looking into your deep blue eyes when you said that, and she just completely missed it. But so it should be an exciting time. We, in these first couple episodes, we'll talk about kind of the fantasy news, some of the off-season trades. That's kind of what we'll talk about today. And then we'll break down different positions. Today is catcher and outfield. So it should be pretty good. Should we get right into this
thing? Let's dive in.
I mean, we don't have a lot of time. So let's dive into the news and injuries, and I think we have to start with our boy Kenley Jansen and his fancy little boot that he's been wearing.
Right. He kind of out of nowhere, it's pretty odd because he went through the whole offseason without any problems, and 3-4 weeks ago, he just has a tumor removed from his foot.
Nice.
They call it benign, I don't know, I guess it's not cancer, we're not sure, but he's going to at least miss April. And possibly into May, he's out 8 to 12 weeks from the injury date, which was 3 weeks ago. So it just worries me a little bit. His ADP is 66, and that's probably just too high for a guy that you're going to miss the first month, 2 months of the season for.
And for those that are not familiar with ADP.
Oh, right.
What is an ADP?
That is your average draft position.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll be referencing that a lot as we go through
probably,
the day.
Probably. That's how I circulate my life. So, yeah.
So, I was reading an article today about Victor Martinez. Mm. And personally, I've never been a big fan of Victor Martinez.
He had a great year last year.
But everybody got aboard the Victor Martinez bandwagon.
He was, I think, a top 10 fantasy player last year.
But he is also mad old.
He is very, very old, which is really what worries me the most. He, you know. During the offseason, he had a left knee surgery to repair a torn meniscus. It's his second knee surgery in the past 3 years. And again, he's 36, so that's pretty worrisome. And I know everyone wants to look to his last year stats and say, oh, he'll be fine, he's a beast. But in 2013, when he was coming off his last knee surgery, he was terrible the first half of the year. In a little over 300 bats, he only had 6 home runs. He batted .233. So I'm not saying he'll be terrible this year, but there's a lot of risk there for a guy going ADP of 52. That's just too much risk for a guy that high in the draft.
So where would you say we should be looking at Victor Martinez?
Oh, that's tough. Yeah, probably maybe the 8th, 9th round I would be interested. Because, again, I want to say, is he only DH eligible? No, he's first base eligible, so you at least get that. But, yeah, I still think.
I heard a rumor he might not even be DH eligible this.
He's that old?
Yeah,
is that possible?
Yeah, like, you can't even be on the DH anymore.
He's bench coach eligible. So, yeah, just a little worrisome there for Victor.
And personally, this is a Ben Korn stamp. Stay away from Victor Martinez.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I'm throwing the first stamp down.
Okay. I didn't know that we were going to use stamps in the show, but all right, I'm in.
That's happening. Miguel Cabrera, always been one of the number one, two, top players out there right now.
For the past 5-6 years.
Yeah, he's looking at like number 4 on a lot of things that I've seen. Should we be buying in at 4 because he's a number 2 guy?
That's too high for me, again, with just the risk. These damn Detroit Tigers are all way too old. Well, we'll get to some better Detroit Tigers down in the show later in the show. But
or worse Detroit Tigers, depending on how
you
look at
depending
it.
On your opinion, I guess. But, yeah, he had a stress fracture in his foot. He has pins in the foot. I think recently they had to go back in and reset the pins. Now, granted, he's played amazing through injury the past couple years, but he's another guy. He's a big guy. He's 32. I just worry how he's going to hold up throughout the whole season. And drafting a guy number four overall, that you really want some consistency there.
Another stamp for Ben Korn. Just stick with Mike Trout.
Well, okay, great. All right, I'll write that down.
Jonathan Lucroy, he's always been a boy of mine through fantasy sports, leading me to many victories on the fantasy front. Should we be looking at him as kind of our number 4 or 5 catcher?
Are you throwing in a humble brag there?
Maybe.
All right. Lucroy, he's definitely been amazing the past couple of years, really high in average. He strained his hamstring probably about 4 weeks ago, and they're not sure if he's going to start the season on the DL or if he'll be ready to go. So he's sort of iffy to start the season. It's something that bothered him at the end of last year, too. So this could be a reoccurring problem. I don't know too much about the human body, but I look at a catcher. He squats the whole time, right? So it seems like a hamstring strain would be troublesome.
So we're thinking we're going to make Jonathan Lucroy a DH.
No, unfortunately.
Dang it.
Unfortunately, that's impossible, being in the NL. So, again, an ADP of 67, that's so high to be taking a guy that is a catcher and, might be hurt half the season.
Thing that's nice about Lucroy is I do, his 300 average pretty much throughout his career is nice.
It's steady. That's sticking around. I don't think that's going to go away. But, in a similar spot, you can get Carlos Santana. I'd just much rather do that if you want to draft a catcher that high.
So a bunch of guys in my fantasy league have been saying that I need to draft Josh Hamilton this year.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a yes or a no?
This is a dead no.
Okay, all right.
Dead no. It's funny, I'm looking at my notes, and I did this a week ago, and a week ago he had a bone shaved down to relieve some arthritis in his shoulder, and I was like, that's already worrisome for him. But then he went and just did a bunch of blow, throw some booze on top of it, and now he's just in major trouble. So it's a sad story, really. I feel for the guy struggling with addiction, but he's nowhere near fantasy relevant.
What about if I draft him in the 20th round?
If you want to make a funny pun name with Josh Hamilton, maybe you want to poke fun at his addiction with your team name, I guess I can understand.
And you do want to have him on your team
but
if you're going to poke fun at him.
He won't contribute any stats for you, no.
Chris Sale, one of the best pitchers out there. But things are not falling into place for him early on.
Yeah, another fishy story. Apparently, this just came out yesterday, broke his foot unloading his truck. Seemed like one of those BS stories where he was playing basketball and didn't want to get in trouble. But they said he'll be back to baseball activities in 3 weeks. Again, all I know is about broken bones take 6 to 8 weeks to heal, so I don't understand how it's 3 weeks. That seems odd. And You know, so he'll definitely miss at least the first couple weeks of the season. It's going to push back his spring training at the very least.
That's a couple players to kind of keep your eye on as, you know, you'll be reading through the Yahoo draft rankings and think, oh, this guy's a, you know, number five player. I want to draft him. But there is some issues with health that you want to keep an eye on. That's what we're here to help you with on the Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Moving more towards where some teams are at right now. When I look at baseball, I think of the teams that have been really horrible these past couple years, whether that be the San Diego Padres, Boston Red Sox, going from worst to first to worst. Do they have it in them to go back to first again? Miami Marlins, what are they doing this year? First, I mean, my favorite team has got to be the San Diego Padres and Matt Kemp, Justin Upton. I mean, all these guys, do they really have the best outfield in the National League, as said by Matt Kemp?
Unfortunately, no, because they have a guy named Will Myers in there. The Padres definitely made the biggest splash this offseason. I think it was not just a splash, it was a shocking splash, because nobody thought they cared about winning.
I was going to say, San Diego Padres have never said they have money.
And then all of a sudden they go and sign James Shields, Justin Upton, or trade for Matt Kemp, Will Myers. People like to make a big deal about the ballpark there, the Petco Park, because it is one of the largest parks in all of the major leagues. So people worry about, you know, regression on home runs, particularly for Justin Upton and Matt Kemp. I don't think it's going to affect them that much. If you look at both Justin Upton and Matt Kemp, they have one of the higher home run distances in the league. So I don't think they'll lose many home runs. I mean, Justin Upton's been really consistent. He's a lock for 25 home runs and 270. Matt Kemp's a little bit more of a wild card, but again, he looked great last year. So I wouldn't worry about them too much because they've gone to the Padres.
Well, personally, Justin Upton, I don't draft him. He's another one of those I don't draft. Okay. I drafted him my first year, and he was almost the reason why I did not win the fantasy title. The fantasy title, of course, okay, because I'm one of the best fantasy baseball players. Right.
Two humble brags in 10 minutes here. That's great.
but also keep in mind, when you look at like the home runs and the San Diego Padres, they are able to play at, you know, Coors Field in the Mile High City, so that will help their home run totals, as well as playing in Los Angeles with the Dodgers inside that division, the number five park for home runs allowed. So the Rockies number two, the Dodgers number five.
So that helps offset. Okay.
So, you know, the Padres are not even the worst. The worst is actually the San Francisco Giants baseball field. But so you are dealing with the two best home run areas and the two worst. So it'll be interesting to see how it comes down. But I think anytime you can play that many games in Colorado, life is going
to
be good.
It's going to help you, yeah. And to that point, sometimes when pitchers go to Petco Park, people get excited. I don't think it's going to affect James Shields very much. He's actually one of the best ground ball percentage pitchers in the league consistently for the past 5-6 years. So, if he was a fly ball pitcher, it might help him out a lot there in Petco. I don't think it's going to change him. He's going to be great. Just going to the NL in general from the AL East is going to help him a lot. So I like James Shields a lot this year.
Miami Marlins, are you buying into what they did?
You know, I am. It's weird when you say the biggest off season signing for them was a person already on their team.
Heck yeah,
Giancarlo Stanton. But yeah, some of the littler moves they made were really good. I really like Matt Latos this year. He was injured a lot last year. Just Ozuna, Yelich coming on. They're young guys, but they seem to be getting stronger.
Yeah, I mean, Latos, Yelich, they're always at the top of my list.
Yeah? Okay. So. And who else did they sign? Oh, D. Gordon, I'm not a big fan of. I don't know about that.
D. Gordon's one of the more overrated signs that I've seen. Yeah.
You know, I guess in roto leagues, it might help you get the stolen bases, but in general, he's just a one category player. That's not my type.
Nationals, Max Scherzer.
Right. The Nationals just love signing the best pitcher in baseball over and over again.
I mean, they've got literally five guys, probably five of the best 25 pitchers, best 50 pitchers.
Yeah. Probably the top 25. I mean, Gio Gonzalez is technically their number five right now.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
And he's a top 100 player, you know, in fantasy. So it's great for him. He'll be going against the number five starter all year. That's phenomenal. Max Scherzer, I don't think it affects his value too much. He's already great. He's 30. He's in his prime. I guess the only benefit is moving to the NL, similar to James Shields. You're going to face the pitcher in the nine hole. So you'll get a little bit of help there. But in general, Scherzer's a beast. I'd draft him with confidence.
What do you think about the Nationals' offense? Is there, you got Rendon, everybody's talking about him and how big of a season he's going to have. Is there going to be any offense out of this team, or is it all, if you see they're playing the Nationals, don't
we're,
play those
We're
players.
Waiting on the breakouts, right? I guess Rendon did last year, but Harper, people will continue to just draft him number 30 overall and wonder when he'll blow up. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Okay, you're not on the...
No, I want to see it first. Okay. I want to see it first, at least that high in the draft. And Rendon... Yeah, he had a great year last year, but that worry, like, you're going to draft him 12 overall and just assume he'll do that again? Again, that worries me that high in the draft. I want consistency in that first round. And Rendon, I don't necessarily trust.
Boston Red Sox.
Oh, God.
We do this podcast from the beautiful city of Boston. As you heard from player profiles, you're a Yankees fan, but enjoy the Sox. I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, but, of course, enjoy the Sox. Worst to first to worst to where are we looking here? I'm a little bit scared. I mean, there's a lot of young talent, but is it going to turn into anything?
I think we're just waiting for that starting pitcher to come, right? I mean, they're pretty much a World Series contender minus an ace starting pitcher. So they have to make a move to do that. You know, Hanley Ramirez, I love this year. I think he's not playing shortstop anymore. His biggest problem in the past has been injuries, so... Hopefully he'll stay healthier out there against the Green Monster.
Yep.
And, you know, he's a guy at shortstop. He could easily put up 20-20 and give you an average of 300-plus. Like, that's pushing into too low level. All right, so if he can stay healthy, he's going to be great. Pablo Sandoval, I hate the Red Sox for this signing. It makes no sense. It's terrible.
We're all about the post.
Do we see the fat picture? If you haven't seen the fat picture, just do a little Google search for Pablo Sandoval's belly.
Okay.
It's massive, and he's a massive dude.
The Cubans? How do we feel about these Cubans?
Yeah, they brought in a lot of players. Obviously, Moncada is the signing. He's not really fantasy relevant this year, but he's going to be a top 10 prospect by midseason rankings. Then you have Rusney Castillo. So that's where it gets complicated, is this outfield. I think we'll get into it a little bit later with my busts, but I do worry about how crowded that outfield is. You know, Mookie Betts. People are drafting Mookie Betts.
He's a top 30 guy.
Yeah, he's literally in the top 100 overall. The guy was never a blue chip prospect, and now he doesn't even necessarily have a position because they just put out the news that they said Shane Victorino is the starting right fielder when healthy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So where does that leave Rusney? Hanley's definitely starting. So then you have Rusney and Mookie Betts kind of fighting for a spot.
And both those guys are considered like top four on the Red Sox right now, in terms of drafting for fantasy.
Yeah, so there's a lot of risk there, but we can get into that a little bit more with the busts.
And now it's time for 30 Seconds with a Homer.
This week, we have Mike from Denver. Mike, what is the good word out in Colorado?
Big year. The Blake Street Bombers are back. Forget about Bichette, Galarraga, and Vinny Castilla. We got the big dick. It's Corey Dickerson. The baggage claim, cargo, and the toy pirate, Troy Tulowitzki. World Series, here we come.
All right, let's change gears a little bit now as we analyze the catcher position. So this is always a difficult position to decide when to go in on a catcher. When you're doing your fantasy baseball draft, you look at the catchers and Buster Posey is always number one, but then do you go big for Buster Posey? Do you decide to wait until like the 20th round and just get an average catcher and hope that he blows up for you? We're going to attempt to dissect that right now just to give you an idea of who are the top 10 catchers that you want to have on your radar. Number one is Buster Posey. Number two, Devin Mesoraco. Number three, Carlos Santana. Number four, Jonathan Lucroy. Number five, Evan Gattis. Number six, Yan Gomes. Number seven, Yadier Molina. Eight is Salvador Perez. Nine, Matt Wieters. And 10 is Willen Rosario. If you continue on that, you got Brian McCann, Russell Martin, Wilson Ramos. Mr. Welter, what is kind of your thoughts as you analyze this catcher position? Are you looking at going big for Buster Posey, or are you looking to kind of fall back and grab somebody else?
Right. It's tempting to want to take one of the top guys, especially Buster Posey. He's just so much better than any other catcher. But in general, I just wait. I wait for catcher. It's just such a risky position with injuries, just with slumps. Sometimes the guys have other things on their head. They're trying to control the starting pitchers. So I worry about taking a guy. You know, Buster Posey's going, what, top 20, 28th off the board?
Yeah, 28.
So you can get a much more higher-rated player that'll give you more stats at that position. So personally, I just like to wait.
Just to give people some perspective, so Buster Posey goes 28th. Devin Mesoraco, who in theory by the Yahoo experts say is the second-best catcher, he's going 85th.
That's a big gap.
Yeah, big gap between Buster Posey. So you have to decide, do I really love Buster? And if I don't love Buster that much, you've got Mesoraco going 85th on average, Carlos Santana going 73rd, and Jonathan Lucroy also going 73rd. So there's definitely, you'll probably miss Buster. So start figuring out who are your guys besides Buster Posey that you want to go with, and who would you say is your favorite value pick?
Value pick this year, I really like my boy Evan Gattis. He just got traded, or he got signed by the Astros, and he's actually not even going to play catcher this year. So if you have him in Dynasty League, you know, sorry, he's going to lose that catcher eligibility. But particularly for the injury reason, I like him because he was injured a lot of last season. He still put up amazing stats. You know, last year he put up 22 home runs in just 369 at-bats. So give him 600 at-bats. He's going to push 30 home runs. No other catcher will hit 30 home runs. And he's, what, the eighth catcher off the board right now?
Yeah, he keeps falling. It's either people like you love him and they're drafting right. really high, or people don't buy into Evan Gattis. Right now, Evan Gattis is going 122.
Right, that's really late. So I love Evan Gattis in that spot.
Which is funny because Evan Gattis is considered the fifth best player by Yahoo, yet in terms of draft position, he's number seven.
So people are sleeping on him.
So people are definitely sleeping. He might fall to you later. What would you say is the earliest that you'd like to grab somebody like Evan Gattis to assure that you can get him?
I would take him in the ninth or tenth round. Definitely, especially once he gets the outfield eligibility, he'll sort of have the dual eligibility that can really be key for strategy. So, yeah.
When I think of Evan Gattis, I think of great for home runs, struggles for average.
Yeah, he's not a great average guy, but what you're going to find as you analyze the catcher ranks is nobody's very good with average. There's Buster Posey, Lucroy, who we've talked about, is risky, and everybody else is a 260 average guy. So,
yeah, I had a difficult time trying to figure out, you know, my best value pick. I've always enjoyed drafting Salvador Perez.
Okay.
I find that he's a guy that gives you consistent home runs. You know, he's going to sit there, you know, hit mid-teens to 20s in home runs. You know, 13 in 2013, 17 in 2014. Every year that he's been in the league, he's hit more and more home runs. So I expect probably 20 home runs come from Salvador Perez this year. His out average can be suspect at times, but you know, the thing that I love, and you'll get a vibe from this as we continue through this podcast, look for those young kids that are on the up. You know, look for those kids that are 25, because between 25 and 28, that's when they're going to really show you some stats. And I see Salvador Perez as one of those guys. You know, this is his fifth year. This is when he comes into his own. Watch out for Salvador Perez as your value pick. And if you look at where Salvador Perez is going, I mean, you can really wait on him. 124, Salvador Perez. So you got Evan Gattis at 122 and Salvador Perez at 124.
So yeah, that's not bad. I mean, he's not even 25 yet. And again, catchers tend to hit their prime even a little bit later. So, you know, catchers usually will hit their prime closer to 28. So, yeah, I could see his power increasing. He always hit for average through the minors. So we're sort of waiting for that to show up. Yeah, I like Perez.
Sleeper and bust, what are you thinking?
Well, again, with catcher, I like to wait. So because once you get past that top tier, the top four guys, in my opinion, everybody's exactly the same. They all could do well. They all could get hurt. Who knows? So my sleeper, I really like Miguel Montero this year. He got traded to the Cubs. You know, they're a bunch of young players. I think it's going to be an exciting ball club. They got Joe Maddon on the Cubs now. And he's actually the 19th off the board right now. And again, I think that was just from a down year last year. He was in Arizona, He's a terrible lineup. You know, Goldschmidt went down last year for them. Trumbo went down. So he was arguably the best hitter in the lineup. And his average just struggled for it. I don't think he was seeing the quality pitches. And his BABIP was a little bit low last year. So if he could just get lucky and have his BABIP increase, he could get his average back up to 270. And he could be a quality. He's not going to be a stud, but he could be a quality catcher that you pick up off waivers if you want.
Yeah, I always forget about Montero. I like like what you're throwing there.
How about yourself? You got a sleeper there, Ben Korn?
Yes, Monty Grandal is my boy. Young kid again. You know, I think just like you're saying, when it comes to catchers, look for somebody real deep that you think has potential, because it's, you know, why waste your opportunity to get a really good outfielder or get a good shortstop? Get somebody that has fallen down. Nobody's really talking much about him. I mean, Grandal, another young kid. We're talking about this will be his fourth year in the league. So a lot of potential for him to grow. The Dodgers, you know, they've lost a little bit of that that pop with like Hanley Ramirez and all them leaving. D. Gordon gone.
Still a very good lineup.
But still pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I mean, he's not going to be, you know, the number three hitter, but I think you might be able to get something from him. So watch out for Grandal. I mean, he's in a lot of drafts, not even being drafted.
Right, so, where is he going overall?
I didn't even put down a number because he's past 217.
Okay, yeah, so he's waiver wire material.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, you can either decide to draft him as kind of one of your late drafts. On average, he's going in round 24.
Wow.
So, I mean, depending on if you draft that many guys, then, you know, you can maybe get Grandal there. But I would guess you could probably get him in the free agent after the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, he's a starting catcher, so. What are you thinking for bust?
Bust is tough because, again, a lot of catchers are going to bust, in my opinion. But I went with Yadier Molina. From what I'm seeing, he's actually the fifth catcher off the board right now. And I know he had great years about 2, 3, 4 years ago. But he's really regressed the past few years. I think he's 32, 33 now. So you can really start to see a sharp decline in catchers at that age. And more particularly, the reason I think he's a bust is because he's going so high that you almost need him to perform at the highest potential that he ever could for the year just to get that value back at that draft position. I mean, in the same spots, you have guys, JD Martinez, Gio Gonzalez, Chris Carter going. That is just too much value to pass up and take Yadier Molina there.
Yeah, I think he falls into that. I know the name Yadier Molina.
Right.
I'm going to draft Yadier Molina, where a lot of these, you know, As a guy playing, you know, fancy baseball and not really knowing the depth of the sport and all the new kids coming up, I might be like, hey, yeah, Molina, yeah, I remember him in the you know, World Series. I think he's a pretty good player. Don't fall into that trap. I think you can maybe get him later, but definitely don't jump in on him when the average.
You can get the same guy 10 rounds later,
and you get a younger guy that has more potential to just blow up.
Yeah.
And I go with the same basic idea for my bust, Russell Martin.
Oh, okay.
You know, an older guy. I mean, I like the idea that he's on Toronto now, and he's from Canada. So, you know, maybe he'll get the feel of Canada and just have a great year. But prior to last year, the Pirates, he was on his downturn, and all of a sudden last year he decided to have a decent year. So it's like, okay, that seems more like an outlier than consistency. So I would expect Russell Martin to have a difficult time this year. So be a little weary when you jump aboard the Russell Martin bandwagon.
See, that's interesting. I kind of like Martin this year. I got to disagree with you there. Now, granted, he's 32. I get it. But he's going to one of the best home run ballparks, and he's going to be in what, I mean, Toronto's one of the best lineups, top two, top three lineups. So he's going to have a lot of star power around and help him out. I like him.
Player profile.
This week, we'll profile Ruzny Castillo. 27 years old, signed out of Cuba to the Red Sox last August on a 7-year, $72 million contract. He joins a crowded Red Sox outfield, but is expected to be the starting center fielder. Signing for a tad more than Jose Abreu, he's not expected to show that kind of power. He projects as a 5-tool player with top speed and potential to hit for average. in limited major league at-bats last season. He posted a .333 average with 2 home runs, 3 stolen bases in just 40 plate appearances. He could be a 15 home run, 30 stolen base with .300 average type of player very soon in the major leagues.
Rusney Castillo, we'll see where he fits in the Boston Red Sox organization. I personally think that there will be a home for Rusney this year, but Chris, you don't seem like you're thinking he's going to be a big-time player.
No, well, he will someday. I don't know about this year, though.
Well, a lot of people are picking him in the fantasy baseball world as going to be a big-time player, so we will see. But that brings us to our outfield, the analyzation of the outfield. You're looking at 3 separate positions, so it gets a little bit deeper. We've got kind of the top 30 outfielders. Mike Trout is number one. I think blows everyone away. I don't see anybody else being picked.
He's a lock at number one, yeah. There's not even a conversation.
So unless you're the the first pick in the draft, it becomes really easy for you what your pick's going to be. If you're not the first pick in the draft, just don't even worry about Mike Trout. He'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew McCutchen is number two. That's pretty much across the board. People think Andrew McCutchen's number two. Giancarlo Stanton, though, could make
a
run.
Some people flip-flop those. I can understand why you'd go Stanton.
Carlos Gomez at number four. Jose Bautista, number five. Adam Jones, Yasiel Puig, Jacoby Ellsbury, Michael Brantley, Justin Upton, Ryan Braun, Bryce Harper, Hunter Pence, Billy Hamilton, Corey Dickerson, Carlos Gonzalez, George Springer, Jonas Cespedes, Starling Marte, Matt Kemp, Matt Holliday, Nelson Cruz, Charlie Blackman, Alex Gordon, Jay Bruce, Jorge Soler, or George Soler, depending on your affiliation with our boy George on the Cubs.
I mean, he's Cuban, so it's Jorge.
Okay. Christian Yelich, Jason Hayward, Cole Calhoun, Mookie Betts. When you look at that that list, is there anybody like deep in that list that you like? Is there anybody that's high on that list that you're kind of questioning?
I mean, it's a loaded list. Outfielders, you really want to get on early. I think there's a real heavy drop-off around like 7, 8, number 9 on that list. But probably one of my favorites is actually a guy who left the Red Sox because they had too many outfielders, Yoenis Cespedes. He actually improved last year. I know people really worry about his average. He actually cut down his K percentage last year. I also think, leaving the A's will help him out. The A's really have a weird style of baseball where they want you to walk. They want you to take pitches, and he's a free swinger. He needs to be up there hacking away. And also, Yoenis went to one of the best RBI locations of any spot in the league, really. He's hitting behind Miggy, behind V-Mart. I think those guys are just on-base machines, and they're going to be sitting waiting to be driven in by Yoenis Cespedes. He really well could lead the league in RBIs this year. And he's got an ADP of 58, so there's some value there. He could perform like a top 30 pick.
So what I've been seeing across the board is that people are drafting Cespedes probably too soon. Like, there's a lot of people like my boy Chris Walter here who's just buying into the Cespedes.
I'm in.
Excitement. To be honest, I don't see it. I watched a lot of Boston Red Sox games, even though they were poor last year, and he just didn't strike me as somebody that left an impression that he's good. He's definitely a leader. When he left the A's turned into a dump of a team. But, in terms of stats, he didn't blow me away. But he is a good value if you can get him 60 to 80. Just don't fall for what everybody else is doing, which is drafting him at like 45.
See, I'm okay with it. I think he's going to bounce back a little bit. I know his homers went down a little bit last year. He had 4 less than the previous season. But his doubles went way up. He had 15 more doubles. He had 21 doubles total in 2013. And then he goes up to 36 doubles last year. Those could easily turn back into home runs. That's the balance that he traded off. He traded off doubles for home runs, which happens in Fenway Park, by the way. So I just think there's so much potential. He's still 28. He could get better. I love him.
Yeah, my guy to keep an eye out, we talked about him a little bit earlier, Christian Yelich. I just like the way he plays. He's somebody that, that's not a name that you would, think about. Like, when people are talking about the Miami Marlins, in my mind, it's Christian Yelich. In anybody else's mind, he's probably the last guy they think about on that Miami team. But he's led me to a decent amount of titles, you know, when it comes to fantasy baseball. So, you know, you definitely
will you
get
chill
aboard.
Out with the humble brags. First of all, I think last year was only his first full season. And you know what? He didn't win last year, so I'm not sure.
2 years ago, I picked him up towards the end of the year, and he was a big reason why I won.
He was a flyer. He was a random dude you picked up.
So he's definitely somebody that I'm a big fan of. And no, definitely keep your eye on Christian Yelich. He's still very young.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a lot of potential there. I mean, when you look at his stats year over year, you know, he's only had roughly 2 years in the league. And, you know, he finally played 144 games last year. Home run totals are still low, had 9 home runs, but he went from 4 the year before to 9 last year. I think we can look at home run totals in the 15s for Christian Yelich. And he's starting to get on base a little bit more. At one point last year, he was, you know, had his average up to like 320. He ended up dropping down because he went through a slump, but look out for Christian Yelich.
That is one piece I worry about, some average regression for him. Now, granted, he's been a high BABIP guy in most of the minors, but he had a BABIP last year of 356. That's really high. You know, the average is 300 around the league. So if that even comes down 10, 20 points, you could see an average of 250. So I worry there. But yeah, in general, he's a really great just all-around player. He gives you a little of everything.
What do you think about my boy Matt Kemp?
Well, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier with the ballpark there in San Diego. I like Matt Kemp a lot. You know, you want to talk about a value pick. He's a guy drafting in the 50, 60 range of ADP. He could be a top 10 player. He has that in him. He's done it before. So he's the type of guy I love drafting there, because if you get that guy to pop, he could lead you right to the championship. So I like Matt Kemp a lot. He looked great the end of last year.
I'd say 2011 had 39 home runs. That's when everybody
that's
jumped
top,
on the
top
Matt
two
Kemp.
Player right
yeah.
there.
And so he has the potential. He's been injured, just like you say. I think, you know, it's always nice to kind of get a new start. You know, the Dodgers had a horrible, you know, rapport going on in the locker room. Nobody liked each other.
The clubhouse was ugly there. Yasiel Puig didn't help. But yeah, and he's from San Diego, so he could just be happier. You know, I think he's a surfer. He wants to surf it up in the waves down in San Diego. So yeah, Kemp could pop this year.
So you're getting Kemp on average in round 6. I think that's, you know, a nice 6th pick. And then Christian Yelich for me, round 8. I mean, if you can kind of load up on outfielders at 6 and 8 and still get those type of quality outfielders, I'm into that.
Yeah, for instance, Starling Marte is going before Matt Kemp. Marte, there's no chance that he performs as good as Kemp this year.
What do you think about JD Martinez?
You know, I think I have him as my value pick here for the outfielders, or one of my value picks. I really like JD Martinez. He's a funny guy. He came in to Detroit last year. Actually, he was cut by, I think it was the Astros, and then because he literally couldn't make the 40-man roster. And then the Tigers signed him, and he became the biggest breakout player of the year. You know, he had a little bit of alteration to his swing, and a lot of that was contributed to Miguel Cabrera. Obviously, he's a great hitter, so he knows how to tell a player to adjust. And JD Martinez loves playing with Miguel. You know, some people worry because JD did have a really high BABIP last year, 389. That's probably one of the highest in the majors. So there's going to be some average regression with Martinez, but that's fine. Give me a 280 hitter. You know, he hit 315 last year. Give me a 280 hitter. He could hit you 25 home runs easily. And again, batting in Detroit's lineup, he's going to have a ton of RBIs. So I really like JD Martinez.
I'd say round 10 is where JD Martinez
that's great.
Is going.
That's great.
Sleepers, anybody that you could make a case that JD Martinez could be a sleeper.
Yeah, I don't know about round 10, because I don't see him to be a sleeper from round 10. You'd almost have to return like round 2 value. I don't know if that's going to happen. Actually, who I wanted to pick for my sleeper was your boy Jorge Soler.
Oh, George Soler.
Georgie. He looks like an angry guy, by the way. I feel like if you called him George to his face, he might punch you.
I can see that.
All I know about him is the player profile pictures on Yahoo, but he looks pissed all the time. But he's going so high that there's no value there.
I mean, I know I picked him up middle of the year last year. as just, all right, I hear a lot of buzz about this guy, and I think he, what, knocked out three or four straight games of home runs, like five home
runs
in four games.
To sort of introduce himself to the league there.
I was like, oh, this George Soler guy is
No, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about him because, again, he's being drafted so high that there's no value there, but he is a Cuban guy. He's only 22. He came over and literally, which is unheard of, he was in four different levels of professional baseball last year. Rookie ball, double A, triple A, and the majors. And literally he raked every step of the way. That's so hard for a young guy to do, to adjust to new pitching and just not skip a beat. But again, he's in like the seventh or eighth round. I don't like Soler there. It's too much risk for a rookie.
Do you think he can pull off like a Jose Abreu?
He's too young. I think he's not going to have that type of power yet. So he's 22. He just needs some time to season. So I like him more for next year. But actually, so my real sleeper that I want to move on to is AJ Pollock. He's a really basically unheard of guy. Plays for out in Arizona. He's basically guaranteed the center field job out there. The thing I really like about him, he's a really high contact rate guy. So he's just knocking the ball over the place, letting the ball do the work for him. And really sneakily had a really great sort of half a year last year. In 287 at-bats, he had 7 home runs, 14 stolen bases, 19 doubles, so a lot of power there. And he batted a little over 300. And he sort of showed that in the minors too. So this could be close to what he is. And again, his ADP is 186, so there's a lot of value to be had there for a flyer you take in the late rounds.
Yeah, when you're going round 21, that's not bad for a starting center fielder that could end up being, you know, number one, number two in the batting order.
Yeah,
if he gets his act together. I'm looking at Will Myers, and I know that you don't seem to be still on the Will Myers bandwagon.
Still, it's been 3 years since people were on the bandwagon.
I like to look at it like the Kansas City. You know, they had a bunch of guys that just couldn't seem to get it together. The Royals were, a team of youth that that's all they were was youth. And Will Myers, I think, has been that guy. Now all of a sudden he's going to the Padres. You know, he's outside of the Tampa Bay system. I think this could be a new start. There's nothing in his stats that make you believe that he's going to be awesome.
Right.
This is just instinctual. You know, do you trust a 2 out of 3 year fantasy baseball dominator like myself, or do you trust Chris Welter?
Well, I trust me.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
No, it's funny you say the Royals because Will Myers from
Kansas City.
Originally, yeah, and he sucked there too.
He tried his best.
Now, I he's young, so he definitely could break out. It's possible. But my worry with him, he is going to the bigger ballpark. He could start to try and lift the ball a little bit more. He could try and change his approach to deal with the ballpark. I just think for a guy that hasn't figured it out yet, to go to a third team in 3 years and try and figure it out, that's a lot for the mind to deal with there.
We've talked about your busts a little bit with this Red Sox team. What do you think? You think that there's no chance?
Well, I mean, there's always a chance. Injuries. So, yeah, my busts are, unfortunately for the Red Sox, Mookie Betts and Ruzny Castillo. It's not because I don't like them. I think they're great players. But, where you have to draft them, they need to be your starter. I mean, Mookie Betts is going in round 9. That's the top 100 players.
Yeah.
This Mookie Betts, look, I love the Red Sox. They know how to hype up their guys, but he's way overblown right now. He was never a top prospect. He was like ranked number 70 maybe a couple years. And he comes out, has a good couple months, and now people think he's the next Willie Mays. That's just jumping to too many conclusions there.
They spent a lot of money on Ruzny Castillo. You think that
they did hit, both these guys will play eventually, but they got to get rid of Shane Victorino. Your boy John Farrell came out pretty aggressively, although he tends to misguide the media.
So he's my boy all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's going to be your boy.
Okay.
But yeah, he said Shane Victorino is the starting right fielder when healthy. So where does that leave Mookie Betts and Ruzny Castillo? Where are they going to play?
So on the opposite side of that, when you look at the Red Sox, who is probably your best value play on the Red Sox?
Well, that's interesting. Just sort of a change of pace here. Probably Big Poppy, honestly.
Wow, okay.
You know, he's first base eligible in Yahoo Standard Leagues, which is very helpful. And I think he's going, you know, 50th overall. But if he hits another 30 home runs, he's returning that value guaranteed.
So I think I would have to go with old Dustin Pedroia. And we'll get into further with some of these other positions. But I think Dusty's going to come back and have a good year. I mean, everybody's getting all hyped up about all these new people. You got to go with old Petey.
You see, ironically enough, I'm with you because you know who's being drafted ahead of Pedroia?
Rusney Castillo.
No, but Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Again, the guy doesn't have a starting job, and you're drafting him as, you know, your ninth overall pick. That's absurd.
In terms of my busts, Josh Hamilton is a bust.
Yeah.
Do I need to say anything more?
He's busting open the baggies, I guess.
I like Josh Hamilton a lot, too. It's kind of sad that you know, he's kind of throwing away his career. George Springer, round five. Everybody's loving George Springer right now. And I last year was going to get aboard the bandwagon. I drafted George Springer. I didn't draft him, but I picked him up when he came up to the big leagues with the Astros. And he just struck out all the time. Yes, he ended up having a decent amount of home runs, and he could be a big home run guy. Still very young. There's no way I'm picking him up in round five. I mean, it could be just like what happened to me with Abreu last year. Abreu came out hot and just blew people away, and then towards the end of the year, you know, started to fall off, and that's why I didn't win the fantasy baseball league last year to you. So keep an eye on George Springer. I don't think he's worth round five. If for whatever reason you're in a fantasy baseball league that does not really know who George Springer is, and for whatever reason drops to, you know, round seven, round eight, maybe that's more of his value. But if you're trying to jump up to round three, four, or five for George Springer, I'm just not into it. That's just not my thing.
Yeah, I got to back you up on this. I mean, he struck out 33% of the time last year, which probably led the majors. That's incredibly high. It's impossible to have a good average when you strike out that much. And, you know, if he slumps the first couple months of the season, I could even see him getting back to the minors for a little more seasoning. So,
and you're doing that with round five?
Right. So if you draft him in round five, you have to have him perform at the best possible level. And there's just too much risk there.
Insight with producer Rick.
Producer, what's up with A-Rod?
All right, what is up with Alex Rodriguez? For years, this dude adamantly denies ever taking steroids. He missed a whole season because he lied. He's way too old. Yankees hate him. Their fans hate him. He can only play first because he's got no lateral movement. He's worse than my grandfather, who sits in a wheelchair. This dude is half-assing. He's just got to give up. The fact that he's being drafted in the 24th round is ridiculous. He's got to put up the cleats and go on holiday. That's it.
Well, that just about does it here on the Fantasy Baseball Weekly podcast. Chris Welter is joining me. I'm Ben Korn. We've kind of knocked out some of the important position, catcher, outfield. Next week, we'll dive into a little bit more of the pitchers, whether it be starting pitchers, relief pitchers. We're going to dive into them and let you know where you should be drafting these pitchers, because that's always the tough thing. How early do you get Clayton Kershaw? How late do you go for Matt Latos?
Big decisions.
Big decisions that you can find right here on the Fantasy Baseball Weekly. Thank you so much for listening to our inaugural episode. Any last thoughts, Big Welt?
No, I had a good time here, Ben.
Okay, I did as well. So you can catch us on the Fantasy Baseball Weekly each and every week as we lead up to the baseball season starting the first week in April. And for my boy Chris Welter, I'm Ben Korn saying thank you so much for shipping up to Boston.